Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
To Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with online traders, broker-assisted traders, hybrid, which is a very popular category, a mix between the two. Work with hedgers, work with speculators. For clients of mine who are interested in hedging, I write Turner's Take Ag Marketing Newsletter. And for anyone interested in the spec trades, for clients, we'll also do Turner's Take Market Alert. If you have any questions for me or what I do here, always happy to talk to you. And we're going to be coming into some critical times here for the grain markets, I think. You can also read more about me in the show notes. All my contact information's in there. You can go to turnerstake.com. If you're more on the spec side, and if you're more on the ag, hedging, and cattle side, you can go to turnerstakeag.com. Alrighty, so a couple of things here. It's going to be a slow week. Last week in August is usually a slow week. I've spent I've been in the financial industry now for 20 years. Half of it, my first half was in the equities and trading systems in New York. I used to work at Goldman Sachs, an investment bank. Low man on the totem pole right out of college. You know, I tell you right now, like, I did work the last week in August back then when I was 22, 23, 24 years old, because anyone who had any kind of clout or seniority was out of the office. If you were anybody in one of those big banks, you wouldn't be caught dead in the office. Otherwise, you weren't important enough. So it was all the skeleton staff who would be on the last 2 weeks of August, definitely the last week heading into Labor Day. So in terms of like money flow, volume, especially in the equity markets, but probably in the commodity markets too, not a whole lot goes on in this period unless some kind of news comes out. So that is one thing to remember. Usually things pick up when everyone comes back after Labor Day. So it's going to be a quiet week. There are a couple of macro stories that I did see that are pretty interesting. I'll add them to the show notes and the newsletter with the links. But there was a story out of Reuters today saying Democrats see an opening in basically rural America or middle America because of the tariffs and the trade war. And that's kind of been brewing for a little while. I thought that was very interesting. I don't get into politics here on this show. Just only reason I do sometimes is just because more of a matter of fact deal. And if that is, you know, if that is the case, then this is always gonna come back to the China-U.S. trade war. I don't know. Maybe that encourages China to keep this trade war going and to, you know, see really what does happen in the new presidential election. But I thought that was an interesting story. And, you know, the farmers that I talked to, you know, those who were more in the president's corner aren't so much as they used to be. So that is something to keep an eye on. Again, not so much for the politics of it, but Turner's Take podcast goes, is really just, you know, the policy side and what could happen with U.S.-China. It's about as far as I like to go into politics on this podcast anyways. Then another story that came out is, so I was reading South China Morning Post, and they, when this whole trade war started, they were, you know, so South China Morning Post is a Hong Kong paper, and I think their oldest independent, you know, Hong Kong paper. It's like they're the Chinese paper of record, the mainland doesn't interfere. And, you know, for a while here, they're quite the independent voice, and they would cover kind of both sides of the U.S. and China trade war, sometimes a little bit more fairly than some in the U.S. outlets would. That tone has changed. It has changed big time to be a little bit, definitely more pro-China. I don't know if that coincides with what's going on in Hong Kong and the protests and, you know, and how everyone's really circling the wagons, it seems like, except for the protesters. But, you know, you see things coming from the big companies in China and what they've been saying about the trade war being very supportive of the government. And what really surprised me is how the South China Morning Post is now really falling in line with the government position. So, I don't know, between that and then the Democrats, you know, they wouldn't be seeing an opening rural America unless their polling numbers, which I'm sure they do every week, it's big, big money, is telling them to do it. So it just, I don't know, it just seems more and more like we're not going to see a trade deal. So knowing that, let's turn our attention. We're going to talk about the grains and livestock and energy here. I am going to start off with the grain markets. Crop ratings came up last night, about a 1 or 2 percentage points, good to excellent for corn and beans. That sent the markets down. Corn is kind of basing here, but soybeans, after being up a little bit yesterday, are now back down. You know, it's going to be a race to the finish, you know, with the grain markets. I know there's a lot of questions about, you know, this is a late crop. There could have weather issues, but there's no weather premium built in case there's a frost. And that's true. There really isn't. We're not going to see that, you know, until in the forecast we can see any kind of threat of frost. And right now we're at the end of August. And you're really not going to see, like, in the 10 to 14, you know, it's the first and second week of September. Traditionally, we're not going to see that threat in the forecast. Now, when we get into mid, late September, early October, right, and when the 10 to 14 day forecasts are projecting into the second half of September and into the early part of October as we go along the calendar there, and it starts to pick up frost or risk of frost, that's when the weather market's going to start. If we get it, you know, if the weather market's going to start, that's when it's going to happen. But right now, I mean, it's colder than normal, but it's not frost levels. And, you know, if it's colder than normal in the beginning of September, that's not a threat. If it's colder than normal than late Sep and early October, that's a different story. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I do think the CBOT for seasonally is kind of bottoming. I've been saying this for a while now. Last half of August is always tough on the grain markets when you have tight stocks. I mean, sorry, abundant stocks. The only time it's not, you know, the slow leak lowers when you have tight stocks. That is not the case this year. We got over a 2 billion carryout projected for old crop, and it's close to that for new crop too. You know, the basis is high in certain areas locally, but not for, you know, not for the rest of the U.S. And with all the contracts that need to be priced, the old crop needs to get cleared out. Traditionally, what we'll see is the market bottom out seasonally. Usually, if you look at the seasonal charts, it's usually from the end of August until the September WASD, like that period. In recent years, it's been right around now because of all the old crop that needed to get cleared out due to basis contracts and stuff like and rolling storage. But that's usually when it is. It's that period. And I think starting on Thursday and Friday, we'll see that bottoming process. Hopefully, and if not, then by the September WASD. But I have a feeling it's going to be by the end of this week, because what's different between this year and years past is that when there is an expected cut in September WASD yields, and we'll also have the opportunity for the market won't want to go down too low in corn and beans, because it knows even if there isn't cold frost risk in the forecast that it can happen at any run going forward. So I think that's how we're gonna set up here for early Sep. When we get these, so I've been bear spread, sell short the Sep, long the other back months. It's working fine. You know, it's not a home run, but it's a position to be in, you know, between now and the end of the month. When we get to the end of the month here in a couple of days, I don't want to be in those positions anymore. I got to come out anyways because first notice day is coming up. So it really should be out by then. I do like being on the long side of the grain markets. And I do think the USDA will lower yield some. I do think eventually we'll get some kind of weather rally because of frost or cold in the forecast, regardless if it actually comes or not. We should get a rally just based on it, I think. And then at that point, if we are going to be long at all, I think not only whether that's late September or early October, whatever it may be, not only do you kind of, you know, you don't want to overstay your welcome in that fall trade. I think at that point, we're going to get aggressive with 2020. Now, we're already 30% either sold, priced, or hedged in my newsletter. We sold a little Dease Futures, 10% of it for 2020 at 420. We're bear spread, 20 versus 21 in the Dease contracts playing the carry. Because remember, the cost to carry is going to go from 5 cents to 8 cents in corn starting at the end of the year. That doesn't mean the elevators have to charge 8 cents a month, but they can, especially if things are, we have a lot of stocks on hand. So the old rule was cost to carry could max out to 5 cents in corn between the months. So Dease 19 to Dease 20, full carry 60 cents. You never see full carry, or I shouldn't say never. You usually don't see full carry in the futures market. It rarely gets like 90%. So, 60 times 0.9. So maybe 54 is a real full, low 50s we'll call it, is the real full carry, in terms of the futures market and future spreads. In Dease corn, next year it's going to be closer to 8 cents a month, 8 times 12, 96 cents times 0.9, so 86. So let's call it mid-80s. So we're going from low to mid-50s to low to mid-80s on the, on the carry. So I like, as part of a spread, Dease 20 versus Dease 21, that's an interesting hedge that we've been looking at. And then also we had a rec, which we got filled on, and I still like. We ended up buying December 2020 $4 puts for right around 20 cents. I want to say it was 20 or 21 cents. So there's a floor at 380, and it gives you that floor between now and November. Not this November of 19, November of 20. So that's 30%. You might be saying, hey, Craig, you've been doing this a long time. I have been. We've never seen you 30% sold or hedged, so early. But I keep on going through my supply and demand tables, and I'm going to post them. And I was just waiting a little bit to see if any of the other analysts out there were any close to what my numbers were, because you kind of don't want to be the first guy out there, especially if it's it could be a little bit of a shocker. But when I look at corn for next year, and let's assume we have a 163 carryout or a 164 carryout. We have an ending stocks of about 1.6 to 1.7 billion, which isn't really the end of the world, right? We're in the high threes. Maybe new crop is in old, is in the fours, low fours. The thing is, next year, right? Assuming no trade deal, assuming South America has a regular crop, with corn at these price levels and soybeans where they are too, it's conceivable that we see somewhere between 93 and 95 million acres corn and somewhere between 83 million acres and 85 million acres soybeans. And that's just me going back through all the WASDE reports and looking at where prices were, the price relationship, the corn and soybeans, and the acreage mix we would get between the two based on them. So, it's a little bit of, a little bit of napkin math there. But that's what I was thinking that I saw. Another analyst that I respect put that out there too. And then I was looking at the USDA 10-line baseline. I wasn't that far off from them either. So when you do that, when you take that 95 million planted acres, you have a trend line yield, which would be 178. And this is for the 2021 crop. And we use like a beginning stocks of like 1.7, 1.6, which means the crop does get smaller. I'm coming out to ending stocks around 2.8 or 2.9 billion in a 20% carryout. Now, I know, that is bearish. And I did it last week and I didn't want to put it out. I kept on looking at it and saying to myself, is that right? Could we really, see a 20% stock to usage next year? Well, if the acres are that high and we get a trend line yield and demand stays like this, and this is where the trade deal, is hurting. And also not, actually, I shouldn't even say the trade deal. It's also swine flu. I mean, the feed demand. I mean, the fact that, the world is going to have more corn because feed demand is going to be lower. And you may make them, you make the argument that's all soybeans and meal, but it affects the other feed grains too, indirectly. And when you look at these things, that's where we are. So, I can say, 2.7, 2.8, 2.9, 3 billion ending stock. And to me, that means harvest price, lows of 2020, not this, harvest, but next harvest, could be $3, could be under $3. And here we are, these 20 is trading at $4. So, how aggressive do you get? Do you buy those $4 puts for 380? I mean, I think we will. Now, the market, we're way too early. I mean, this is way too early for the market to pay attention to this stuff. The market's not going to pay attention to this stuff starting now. We still have a South American crop. We have this crop to finish, then we have South American crop. We could still have trade deals, then we've got next year's crop. But all I'm saying is that if you look at the price for the past 5 years, if you look at where we're starting off, and what are the odds that we have a late spring like we did this year? Like, what if the weather's really good next year? So how do you hedge that and protect that without taking off too much of the upside? So if you're not going to outright sell these futures for 2020 and just lock that in at $4, which I think some should do it, I really like the DST spread, the 2021, and I really like a combo of those puts and really to protect yourself. I think if you have questions on how to do that, because think of it this way, that DST spread is trading at about a 10 cent carry. If I'm right about this full carry and we can go into 60, 70, 80 cents, well, if my numbers are right between now and next November and we go to $3 corn, we're at $4 now, that's a buck lower. When we first started bear spreading these DSTs, it's about a 10 cent carry. I can see us getting to 5 cent carry, maybe even back to even on the rally if we get one this fall. Well, we might be able to protect ourselves 50, 60, 70 cents to the downside if we're right about this by just using the DST spread. We can buy, and that still leaves a lot of upside, potential. If prices rally, because if prices do rally, that spread won't go against us tick for tick, especially not now. The options only cost about 20 cents or a little bit more for that $4 put, getting like a 380 or 375 floor when you're staring at this stuff and saying, man, maybe by next year we could be at $3. And maybe we're not. But, you got to look at the way I see things is, what if we have normal years? What does that mean? That's the best I can do for price projections. Like, what if we're actually close to the acres we think we should get and the yield we should get? And I know we can deviate, but I think you got to prepare for the average, and right now the average is telling me $3 corn, not this November, but next November. And what are we going to, and now's the time to do it. It's not for anyone who's stuck with old crop now. That same old crop was $4 18 months ago, right? So what's the best way to hedge that, but not lock yourself in from higher prices if we do go up, right? That's always the rub. That's always the trick. Personally, I think it's that DST spread and those $4 puts now, right? And then going down the road, if things really go that low, you can always sell a, who knows, $3 put to help offset the $4 put cost. And you can always trade around the position. If we get a little too bearish, you can always use short-term options ahead of reports just in case things spike up. But that's going to be the plan. I'm going to be more aggressive with it. And what I'm hoping for is the rally this September and October to sell into it. That's where I'm going to start to catch up in sales and get aggressive. So if you're on board, if you want to do that, contact me. I'm going to be putting out a Turner's Take Market Alert. If you don't get my ag marketing, if you don't get my daily newsletter and you want to, contact me directly. All my contact information is in the show notes. You can go to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. My contact information is all over the place on the internet, on these podcasts. Feel free. This is the time. Now is going to be the time. This fall is going to be very important for the next 18 months. So let's all get on the same page here. For the soybeans, if we're going to have like 93 to 95 million acres on the corn, that means we're going to have 83 to 85 million acres in soybeans most likely. Trend line yield at 50. Let's say our ending stocks are around 600 million, meaning that the yields go from like 48 to 46, right? I don't think that's out of the question here. Let's assume you don't have like a major frost, then it's a little bit different. But let's just say that's where we are. You know, at 83 million acres and a 50 yield, ending stocks next year in the 600 to 700 million range. I mean, if the crop is really good and we have great finishing weather here, we could, you know, be back to the 800s. If we have real issues with the crop, we're at 44 for the old crop. And the reason why this matters for next year is the carry-in. You know, then maybe we're closer to, 500 or 600. But the thing is, like, if the swine flu isn't going away, I don't think this China trade war is going away either between now and the next election. So that's November of next year. So that's harvest of next year. I don't know. I think, you know, and if we're at a 600 or 700, if we're at our 600 or 700 ending stocks, you know, where should prices be? They should be in the probably mid to low eights. And if corn is at three, I mean, 3 times 2.5, you know, 2.5 price ratio. If soybeans are trading 2.5 times over corn when corn's in low threes, then soybeans are having a tough time staying above eight, you know, by harvest of next year. So what do we do there? Same deal. Nov versus Nov soybeans. Nov 20 versus Nov 21 looks like a good, you know, good bet, you know, just to have a little bit of protection. I don't love selling futures outright in soybeans. They can really go against you fast. I do like some of the option plays, though. You know, actually, let me put you on hold for 1 second. All right, so, you know, with soybeans, you got to get a little bit more creative, I think, just because, you know, the options are expensive. I'm looking at, like, $9 options. They're 35 cents. But if we could get a rally, if NOV 20, you know, goes up to 950 or something like that, and then, you know, the $9 puts are 25 cents or 20 cents, then you're, you know, maybe you can sell a call spread on the upside, you know, to help finance that. Or I do like NOV 20 versus NOV 21, the bear spread, just like how we talked about with these. You know what? What worked with us last year was you just make the sales in soybeans when you can, like you forward contract, if depending on what the basis is. And then you have a bull spread or a call, you know, up at like 10 bucks or something like that. You know, with November 20 beans at 920, there's probably a dollar risk of downside, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got a rally. And I think at that point, we're going to have to do something. It seems like every year we're behind on soybean sales, but we're ahead on corn. So I kind of want to correct for that. But the reason being is the soybean options are expensive, and no one wants to sell futures because they can get just absolutely crazy, which I get. So maybe the soybean spreads are the way to go, like the 20 versus 21, and maybe buying a put and selling a call spread to finance. I think that's going to be the way to do it. So again, I don't mind. So we'll be coming out with those two. So those are my, unfortunately, sober thoughts on the grain markets going forward, using September and October to start to sell into and try to make floors. I think it's going to be really important to do it this year. All right, so that was a downer. But just to finish up the podcast here, quickly, live cattle. I've been talking about these live cattle in both my newsletters, The Spec and The Hedge. I think this is way overdone. I think the industry eventually catches up to, you know, being able to process December cattle right now. It's about 105, 106. I think by the end of the contract here, we get to 112, like 110 to 114. I think April could be, again, above the 120s. We're probably making a seasonal bottom in the futures and the cash prices now. And what's going to happen is two things. Demand will get better. Seasonally, it does. Two, and the industry capacity will increase over time. I mean, I know for like right now, it might not, these next couple of weeks, but when we're talking these futures and Feb futures and April, they will. Wouldn't be surprised to see that rebound. So whether you're trading futures, whether you're in the business and you gotta buy animals or sell animals, there's ways to protect yourself. I don't love the future spreads for this because I think the value is more in the back end than in the front end. And yeah, I'm bullish. So if you bull spread the near by the deferred, that could be a loser for you. Not saying it will be, but it could be. So I actually prefer call spreads and in the deferreds. That's how I would play that. And Yeah, and we're already 25 minutes, and I don't like to go over 25 minutes on this podcast. So I like cattle. You know my game plan for short-term, medium-term, and long-term now for grains. If you're happy to talk to anyone about that, if you want to get into the bigger details, it's going to be a big deal. And I think these next, between now and late next year, between now and Thanksgiving 2020, there's, I think there's a way to navigate through it and come out pretty clean on the other side. But I'm happy to talk about that more going forward. So thanks for listening. Have a great week, everyone. Labor Day is on Monday. And yeah, I'll talk to you next week. So we are shut down on Monday, but Tuesday when we come back, I'll do another podcast. Have a great week, a nice holiday weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.